everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret, and we pick up our study in the book of Romans today. We've been going verse by verse through this book, as we always do. And we come in our study today to Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading in verse 25. The Apostle Paul writes, "I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers." Now he's talking to Christians. And he says, brothers, that gives it away. He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part, until the full number of the Gentiles has come in." And so, Israel's coldness toward their Messiah and the Savior Jesus Christ is only partial, and it is only temporary. When the last Gentile is saved, the Jews will turn to Christ in masses, and then Jesus Christ will return. And so it says in verse 26, "And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." He says all Israel will be saved. That doesn't mean that every single Jew who has ever lived will be in heaven. It simply means that God is not finished with the nation Israel. All Israel will be saved. That is, they will turn to Christ in masses. And every Israelite who will be saved shall be saved. Verse 28. "As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs." You know, the Jews of the first century were enemies of the church. They persecuted Christians. But God would not reject them, not entirely, because of the promise that he made to Abraham, the ancestor of the Jews. And, you know, I believe if it wasn't for those promises, the Jews may have met the same fate as Sodom and Gomorrah, which, of course, were totally destroyed. But God wouldn't do that to his people Israel because of the promises that he made to Abraham. Verse 29. "For the gifts and his call are irrevocable." God called the Jews to be his people. And he will make sure that at least some from every single generation will be around to answer that call. And they have been. God does not go back on his promises, or his gifts, or his calling. Now, people can refuse God's gifts, or say that they don't want them anymore. Well, we can do that, if we want to be that foolish. But God will never remove them from anyone who wants them. Verse 30. "Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience." And that's talking about Gentiles. God offered salvation to the Gentiles because the Jews didn't want it. And so again in verse 30 and then 31, "Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you." Now there's a lot of words there, but basically what it is saying is this: God showed and continues to show mercy to Gentiles by saving them through Jesus Christ, and he also shows mercy to Jews. Mercy is the key word here. None of us are worthy of forgiveness. None of us are worthy of eternal life. It is only through the mercy of God that any of us are saved. 32. For God has bound all men over to disobedience, so that he may have mercy on them all. We're all just a bunch of disobedient sinners. But God wants to show mercy to us in spite of our unworthiness. And I suppose that's what makes his mercy, mercy. We all need it. And we can all have it too, if we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. We can't possibly figure out exactly what God is doing and how he's doing it. You know, the best thing to do is just grab a hold of God through faith in Jesus Christ and hang on, trusting him through this life. Because we're never going to figure everything out. We can't figure out God's ways. Not all of them, that's for sure. And the only thing that's left is faith. 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? You know, God doesn't need a counselor. People shouldn't try to tell God what to do. And right along with that, people shouldn't complain about how things are. God doesn't need advice from little old man. 35. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? So, you and I don't like something that is happening? Like God owes us something better? What does God owe us? God doesn't owe anyone anything, including an explanation for anything that happens. He's not accountable to us. 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The Creator doesn't owe his creation anything. We owe him. We owe him our very existence. Any good thing we have, any good thing we have ever had, any good thing we have ever enjoyed is a gift from God. He deserves a thank you for any good thing we have ever experienced or any pleasant thing that has ever made us smile. Chapter 12. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship or your reasonable service. Being saved from hell is a gift. It is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. And it is a gift that deserves a response of complete dedication to the Lord for having saved us. I mean, that's really the only reasonable response there is to such a wonderful gift. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we change what we feed our minds, then how we live will change. If we put God's word, God's thoughts, into our mind, then we're not going to live like the people who really couldn't care less about pleasing God. It all starts in our mind. We have to feed our minds with his word. Then we will find it easier to do his will. 3. For by the grace given me, I say unto every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. He says, think of yourself with sober judgment. And the sober judgment by which we should measure ourselves is the Word of God. It's not helpful to compare ourselves with other people, because people are not the standard. So what difference does it make if we turn out to be better than our neighbor? So, he's not the standard, and God doesn't grade on the curve. He grades according to his word. And so if we look at ourselves in the light of God's word, well, then we're looking at ourselves with sober judgment. And if we do that, we will never have a problem with arrogance. You know what's going to happen? We'll be eternally grateful for God's mercy. Verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. In other words, the different parts of our body, the different parts of our physical human body, that's what this is talking about, contribute in their own unique way to the well-being of the entire body. So my finger has something to contribute. My eyes have something to contribute. My tongue has something to contribute. And that's the way it is for each one of us. So also in the body of Christ, as we will see in verse 5, which says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Christians are connected in the Holy Spirit, just like the members of our physical body are connected physically. And it says in verse 6, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. In other words, be yourself in the Lord. Just be yourself. But in being yourself, be all that you can be for Jesus. Be yourself, but do your very best. When every Christian is doing their very best, just being themselves, not trying to be like some other Christian, but when every Christian is being their best, the church as a whole is going to be effective, and the different Christians in the church will be a blessing to each other. So just like when all the members of your body function, your body is happy and healthy, and they complement one another, that's the way it is in the body of Christ too with Christians. And that's the way it should be. And you know what? I think we will take a break right here. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 12, verse 9, when we return from this break. So please stay with us. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. The idea of walking is often used in Scripture as a symbol of the Christian life. The authors used it as a reference to daily conduct, a lifestyle that ought to be characterized by a day-by-day, step-by-step commitment to follow Jesus. But that's possible only when you live by the resources God has provided. You sure can't do it by just knowing the theology and then trying really hard. Are you trying to live as a Christian without prayer, without studying the Bible, without giving thought to Christ? Are you trying to be righteous without relying on the Holy Spirit? If you are, you'll be frustrated. I challenge you to trust in the Lord's strength as you commit every day and every moment to Him. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
And welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Murat. We resume our study in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 9, which reads, and again, remember, this is written to Christians, Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. In order to be good, we must hate evil. And you know, oftentimes, Christians do not hate evil as they should until they have experienced the horrible consequences of evil. In other words, until they have endured God's discipline for committing sin, or until they have just seen the evil consequences of sin. No one loves good deeper than those who have experienced the bad caused by sin. Verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. In other words, treat others better than you treat yourself. As long as it isn't sinful, let others have their way. Don't fight for your own way. Don't fight for your so-called rights. Treat yourself good. Treat others better than good. Verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be on fire for Christ. He saved you from hell if you're a Christian. Don't take that for granted. Live for Him like you know it's true, because it is true. 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope. In other words, look forward to the good times to come as a Christian, because they're coming. And it's true that Christians can't always be happy about the present circumstances, but we can always be joyful over the great future that we have, and prayer will help us to maintain that eternal perspective, which is so essential to having joy. 13. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In other words, we shouldn't be selfish if we are Christians. If a Christian needs our help, then we should care enough to do what we can to assist them. 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. In other words, be like Jesus, because that's exactly what he did. Be like Jesus, who sacrificed himself on behalf of those who offended him with their sin. We've all offended Jesus with our sin. He's been offended much deeper than any of us could offend somebody else or be offended by some other person. And so God wants us to be good to those who have been bad to us, because he's been good to those who have been bad to him, namely us. 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. We're to be sensitive to the feelings of others. If someone is happy, be happy because they're happy. Now, some people are miserable when they see that other people are happy. They won't let anybody else be happy. They feel so envious and jealous, and there's almost a hatred that comes from some people. So be happy simply because somebody else is happy. And if someone is sad, share in their sadness. That means don't be all bubbly and upbeat around them. If they're sad, man, that's like pouring salt on their wounds. And, you know, don't try to cheer them up. Just leave it be. Share in their sadness. 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. There should never be any social, educational, or economic barriers in Christ. Never. Wealthy Christians should not think that they are better off than or better than poor Christians. Highly educated Christians should never think that they're better than undereducated Christians. Poor Christians should not dislike wealthy Christians either. I mean, it's a two-way street. But the fact is, the common laborer who works for minimum wage is just as important as a Christian who happens to be a rocket scientist. And it's true. And you know what? If one is filled with the Holy Spirit, they're not going to look down on other Christians. Because that sort of thing is abhorrent to Christ. 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Never say. Never say, I'm going to get back at that person for what they did for me. Getting someone back makes you as sinful as the one who hurt you in the first place. Last part of verse 17. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Be a good person. That's all that means. Be a good person. You know, there are things that everyone can agree on as being proper behavior. And don't ever violate those universal principles of goodness if you're a Christian. 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In other words, don't be the reason for trouble. Bend over backwards to get along with others. And of course, sometimes you can be as nice as can be, and it still won't be enough for some people. And it's important to recognize that as well. Verse 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. When we get someone back, we are doing God's job. In fact, getting someone back suggests that God cannot be trusted to carry out justice. And so we have to take it into our own hands. That's a terrible thing to do to God. Terrible thing to say indirectly about God. 20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Be good to those who have been bad to you. Be kind to them, because your kindness is going to contrast their bad behavior, and it's going to make them feel guilty. And I know getting someone back is tempting. But showing the kindness of God to someone who has been bad to you may wake them up, and that's even more important. It may get them to repent, and it may lead to their salvation, and that's what God wants. Let's go into chapter 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist, have been established by God. So what God is saying here is respect the police officers and the elected leaders. Every last one of them are there, and they are there in God's will. And we may not understand how, but it's true. And they need to be obeyed, and they need to be respected because of their position, if not always because of their personal conduct. It's not the issue. Verse 2, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Parking tickets are a judgment from God. Do you realize that? Speeding tickets are a judgment from God. When we are punished for breaking the law, we are punished for rebelling against God's authority. As long as the law doesn't insist that we go against Scripture, we must obey it, or we ourselves are going against Scripture. Verse 3. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. A police officer driving down the street desires to pull a car over because the taillight doesn't work. So he's going to do this person a favor and do, you know, other drivers a favor too. And pull this person over. He's got a blinker that doesn't work. So he flashes his lights and maybe hits the siren real quick, and all of a sudden the car takes off 90 miles per hour. Why is this driver so afraid? Why? Because his back seat is full of illegal drugs. See, you don't have to be afraid if you don't break the law. Verse 4, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. God wants there to be law and order in his world, and so he established civil government to enforce it. The government is God's instrument to keep people from hurting each other. It'd be nice if we didn't need laws, but sinful man does. And the further a nation is from God in their hearts, the more laws they need, and the more police officers they need to enforce those laws. 5. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. In other words, it's smart to obey laws because it's smart to avoid pain. And it's also smart to be in God's will. You don't want to be on the opposite side of God with regard to anything. That's never a smart thing to do. Verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Don't cheat on your taxes. God is saying, don't cheat, because you're cheating God. The Bible says the laborer is worthy of their pay, and taxes are the way that we pay for government services. And if we don't like how some of our tax money is spent, well, then we should work within the rules to try to change things. But until things change, we must still pay our taxes. 7. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Give people what God says they have coming, not what you think they have coming. We are not the judge. God is. And we must go by his judgments. Any questions or any comments for me, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. If you want more of the Word of God, please take advantage of the Scripture Verse by Verse website. It's there for you. Study the Bible as much as you possibly can. That's what I would encourage you to do, and take advantage of this tool, because you can go to our website and you can study the entire Bible online for free with my audio Bible commentaries. I do not charge for any of them, like some, you know, some websites do charge, but I do not. I do ask, though, that you pray for this ministry, and that if you appreciate it, you drop me a line, and because it'd be a great encouragement to know that you're out there and that you appreciate these messages and the messages online, too. That web address is meret.org. Let me spell it for you. meurett.org. Again, meurett.org. I'm with you Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. So until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. Have a great day. So long, everyone.